You all right? My name's Paul. I've got autism and I make random videos based on my version of autism and the way my head works. And I stick the videos on the internet in case you fancy giving them a watch. Now, the reason I emphasized my version of autism is because that's what this video is all about. It's about how we need versions of autism. Because when people don't know about autism, they say things that can set us back to the dark ages. They say things that can give people the absolute wrong perspective of what autism is and what we will and can't do through it. I've got too much to say, and I'm trying to think before I speak because I've tried to do this video about 5 times now and I keep hitting a point and getting very angry, saying things I shouldn't say. And I have to come back out of it and restart. So I'll try and be better. But basically, I was sent a video from someone I talked to on the internet. And they had sent me the first UK televised final proceedings of a criminal prosecution. And the reason they did that is because in England and Wales, we were never allowed to take a video camera in a courtroom that allowed audio and video to be captured at the same time and made public. It's just never been allowed. So they finally allowed it. And what they're doing is they're filming it, the final stages of a criminal prosecution when they're big cases, and they are sticking them on YouTube so we can all watch them. And the point is, it's so we can come to, we can see how judges come to their decisions on their prosecutions, their guilt, pleas or whatever. So I like the idea of it. I think it's good. But the video sent was the first ever one. And it was about this guy who had murdered his grandfather. And the reason it's important and the reason I'm talking about it is because this guy was autistic. Still is. Still alive, I think. Unless he tries to commit suicide, which there's a lot of reference of for this lad. So what I've done is I've watched the video about 6 times. I'm quite obsessed with it because of how annoyed I get watching it because of how poor the judge delivers what she needs to say when it's in relation to autism. The rest of it's fine, but autism's incorrect for what she says. Like I say, link will be in the description, so give it a watch. Please, I beg you to watch it. So what I've done on my screen that I just keep to this side of me is I've written down in bullet points the parts I find relevant, and I want to, so it'll tell you the story of who this guy is, what he's done, and then we'll hit the points that refer to autism. So he was actually acquitted of murder. He wasn't prosecuted of murder for this. It was actually manslaughter on diminished responsibility because of his autism. Nonsense. But he didn't have the best start in life by the sound of it, because his mother got with this guy who wasn't a nice guy, and this guy subjected this Ben Oliver to pornography when he was like 5 years old. Now, what I will say is keep all that crap away from kids. Until you start getting those hormones and going through puberty, you don't know what it is. You don't need to know what it is. Let kids be innocent. Let them play. Don't mess about with that stuff near kids. It's disgusting. This guy was bullied, and he was diagnosed at an early age of autism spectrum disorder. He went to a school that was for autistic people, and he didn't do well at all. Now, I think the mother had filmed the stepdad attacking or abusing this guy, and then this video made the light of day. So the mum's obviously not a nice person by the sound of it, doing things like this. But then the mother entered a same-sex relationship, and this really messed this Ben Oliver up. Couldn't wrap his head around it, doesn't understand that. I don't know, maybe there's an element of religion in him where it's like, you shouldn't be messing about, you know, stick to your Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. I don't know, these, you know. But what it did say is that it didn't do well when that happened. He was in and out of care. So again, what's the mother up to? You know, messing up, you know, choosing relationships that are going to upset him, entering relationships with people who abuse him. Doesn't sound well for her, does it? He had a strong relationship with his paternal grandparents, but he was irreparably damaged from his early experiences and learning disabilities. We'll come back to that bit. He's shown many traits of ASD, a lack of empathy for others. We'll come back to that. Except for his gran, and he had some for his granddad as well. And then this is where I lost all sympathy for the guy. When he was 15, he abused a young child and he got 6 years for rape. Now, like I said, keep anything sexual away from kids. They don't need to know it. Pedophiles? Absolutely abhorrent. It's the worst. There's not many things that are worse than that. You know, taking something innocent, ruining it, just stop it. Just no. And this is the bit I keep getting caught on, so I just need to move on. he was given 6 years for rape and indecent images of children. And then it said, the judge says, learnt from childhood experiences, lack of empathy and understanding exacerbated by and rooted in your ASD. So the reason he couldn't move past and the reason he did what he did and he doesn't have empathy is because it's rooted in his autism spectrum disorder. We'll come back to that. His granddad had a stroke, and the granddad was then cared for by carers and the gran because he stayed in the house. While this guy was in prison, he was beaten by prisoners, and he was given medication for depression and his autism. Fair enough. Whilst in prison, it came to light that his grandfather committed sex child offences also when he was younger, and his mother and his uncle conspired to kill the granddad. And they were only dissuaded by the grandmother. So that's where the idea was born, to murder the grandfather. The gran also, during this time, after finding these things out, had lost respect for the granddad. It also came out that in his younger days, he wasn't very nice to the gran, and he also cheated on her multiple times. Now, when this guy came out of prison, he was suicidal, and he would phone the RSPCA to come and collect my ferret. Because he didn't want his ferret suffering. You know, that's the only nice thing this guy's done. But she said he was psychotic, which I agree with, but it doesn't get mentioned enough. He was looking at child porn again. He exposed himself. He was taken to hospital and due to his autism, didn't realise he had to stay there. We'll pick that back up. He had multiple suicide attempts and he became obsessed with his nan. He was phoning her 3 or 4 times an hour. And the only way he could feel relaxed or calm is if he held his nan's arm, which to me is extremely dangerous to let someone with autism get to that point. But if I remember, I'll come back to that bit. And if I don't, I'll do a video on it. He spoke often about demons trying to get him, which is mentioned as long as that sentence was, which to me is massive. But they're so focused on autism. He then went upstairs when he was at his grandparents' house, stabbed his grandfather in the throat so he couldn't breathe. He stabbed him in the mouth so he couldn't scream, and he stabbed him in the eyes so he couldn't see him, and they stabbed him in the torso. So 21 times in the face and neck, 7 times in the torso. And then he just went downstairs like he'd done nothing wrong and just said to his nan, don't worry, he can't hurt you anymore. And then she phoned 999. He was calm, sat on the sofa, and then he went upstairs. They say that they were thinking he was going to kill himself, but the nan brought him back down again, and he just waited and cooperated fully with the police. Well, what else can he do? He had multiple assessments after his arrest to assess his mental state, as well he should, and the psychiatrist had access to all the records to offer greater expertise, and I hate that word. I hate expert. Because for me, an ex is a has-been, and a spurt comes out of a tap. No such thing as an expert, especially when you get it wrong, mate, which they do. He was diagnosed, or sort of the conclusion was, that he's got autism spectrum disorder, depression, and adjustment disorder. So obviously he couldn't adjust when he found out his mum was in a same-sex relationship, and he couldn't adjust when he found out his grandfather was mean to his gran. He had impaired ability to make rational judgment. He didn't think there was an alternative to killing. But for me, who put the idea in there in the first place? And he didn't have the skill to see rationale due to his tunnel vision, because his autism was deemed significant but not severe. The judge mentions that when she's coming up to the decision of how she comes up with the duration of his sentence, she talks about She's got to take into account the relevance of his mental abnormality. We'll come back to that. And the abnormality of mental functioning. Come back to that. The only part that was actually, all right, I agree with you, was where she mentioned Dr. Cumming said, "You're a very damaged man who will require psychological work in the longer term." Yeah, you don't say. And he was given a life sentence. Now, for me, life means life. And if someone's going to be in prison for the rest of their life, just get rid of them. I don't see the point in it being a burden on taxpayers' money. But then that's my lack of empathy, isn't it? But as I've told you before, if it's your own doing and you're moaning about it, shut up. Nobody needs to know. You caused that problem for yourself. We need to have responsibility. That's what the world's missing. We're all missing responsibility for our own actions. Not all of us. Some of us are all right. And he was given a minimum of 10 years and 8 months before he was allowed to apply for parole. So there we go. This guy killed his granddad because his granddad did the same thing he did. The idea was planted in his head from his mum and his uncle, who it wasn't mentioned that they might have had a part in this. And then he was mean to his nan, so he killed the guy. And now he's in prison again. But what bothers me a lot is when you watch this 20-minute video from the judge, she is always referencing autism. She is always referencing because of your autism, because of your ASD, because of your lack of this, because of your mental abnormality. And it's problematic. It's problematic for me because, like, when I start my videos and I say my version of autism, the judge never did that. She never said your version of autism, the type of autism you have. She never made it specific for him. So that is harmful for me. That's harmful for people like me. It's harmful for people, for the majority of other autistic people, I'd imagine, because if I'm the outsider and I go, oh, they're now filming the final stages of criminal prosecutions, I might start watching a few of them while I have me tea, while I'm on my break at work. That'll be interesting. I'll be really curious to see how they put together these sentences for people and hear the case that they're trying. And that is me. I'm one of those people. I'll be there when I'm doing my overnights watching this stuff because I love that sort of stuff. I love to see people who've done wrong things get their comeuppance. I do like karma. I do like it to know that the world does work sometimes. But I'm also interested in legalities. I like to know why they are there, you know, and how do we come up with something like that? But if somebody's watching that and they know nothing about autism, what are they being told by this case? They're being told, when they constantly reference the autism, that maybe autistic people have tendencies to be quite all right to commit murder. They're making it look like potentially that we're paedophiles, that we're a nonce. Not at all. I can't tell. There isn't many things in this world that I despise more than that. And I can't talk about it because I will keep getting very angry about it. It makes it sound like the reason we do what we do is because we have mental abnormality and abnormality in mental functioning. Excuse me, talk for yourself, love. I think I'm all right, thanks. You know, I do not have a version of autism that does that for me. My role, I work in an executive function, an executive service, and I deliver and complete work for legal services. I'm pretty sure if I had a relevance of mental abnormality or abnormality for mental functioning, I probably wouldn't work at all now, would I? Wouldn't be able to pay for my own mortgage and drive a car and do, you know, adult learning. I won't be able to do any of that, would I? And I'll get to the point that I'm trying to get to, but it just winds me up. You know, irreparably damaged from early experiences and learning disabilities. Well, please tell me, Judge. Please. We're all wondering, what's his learning disability? Because all you've said is he's got autism. Now, it might take me longer to learn, but it doesn't mean I won't learn. I've said before, you can throw a lot of things at me that I've got to learn, and it'll sit on a filter paper and it's got to filter through. It will all come through. It just takes longer. It's not like you're going to give me a word one day and I'll go, I don't know what that word means, and I never want to hear it again, because I'll never be able to absorb the information for what it means. I get annoyed because of the lack of types of autism. You know, don't give me the low support need, some support need, severe support need. That's irrelevant for me because, yes, day to day, I have low support need. But when I need support, it's severe. So it's not about how many hours a day do you need support. It's when you need it. How do you need it? How does it impact you? How badly does it impact you? Why do you need it? So even the things that people come up with today and go, well, that's better than saying high functioning, low functioning, it's still so far away from what it needs to be because it doesn't help me. We need types of autism to be determined. We really do. She talks about, you show many traits of autism spectrum disorder, lack of empathy to others. No, the video I put out on the 29th of July, 2022, is I'm talking about six common signs of autism that you will read across so many of them. And one of them I dispel is lack of empathy to others. I have empathy for animals, too much of it. So much so that I feel sorry for me because it can impact me so badly. I feel empathy for people who've had misfortune, who fell on hard times, who struggle, who need help. People who cannot help themselves, of course I do. But if you make your bed, you lie in it. If you break into a house to rob things and the person you break into happens to be a mixed martial artist and they beat you into oblivion that you never fully recover, I'm glad that happened because you shouldn't have done that. So I don't have empathy for people who create their own problems. Now, that doesn't mean I have a lack of empathy for others. It means I have decency. But it's not a trait. It is not a trait to be very uncaring against a lot of people, but I do know someone who is exactly like that, who has autism, and one day I'll speak about them, but the plan is to write a book about them first because I need to do it right, because otherwise if I speak how I speak, I'll forget a lot of things that I need to say, and I want to make sure I leave no stone unturned. But there is a type of autism for that, and it's like where it mentioned the only way to calm him down is to grab all of the grandmother's arm, and that relaxes him. There is something so dangerous to let certain types of autistic people who are in this guy's category, which is yet to be determined, you can't let them get too close, not to another human like that, because they become hyperfixated and ultra obsessive about that human being. And I've seen it happen where they almost try and break up the relationship of the mother and the father, if they have an obsession with one of them, cause that much strain and pressure to try and split them apart so they can take the one they're obsessed with and have them all to themselves. And if they have siblings, brothers and sisters, they cause nothing but aggravation to try and keep everyone away because it's just like, I just want that person to myself. And they will create false arguments, they'll create false tension. They will mentally drain the resource of that human being so there's nothing left in them. So one day, because they're completely drained forever, they just go, it's just safer if everybody just keeps the distance because it's just safer for everyone else. And then that person gets everything they ever wanted. It's so dangerous. It's so impactful. It's hideous. And like I said, this is firsthand experience of witnessing this. It can never be allowed. Strong, defined boundaries that people are not allowed to cross with strong consequence. People like that need a consequence for their actions. Just because they're autistic, it doesn't mean you've got to let them off the hook. It means you've got to be stronger because this person doesn't have that, when they're ultra obsessed and they're hyper fixated, they don't have the sense of what's right and wrong. They have, I want that, and that's it. Law doesn't matter. Other people don't matter. Nothing else matters. They've just got to get to that person. And you can ask them, well, why do you want to get there? And they'll never answer you. Like I said, I know someone like this, and it's dangerous. It can be dangerous. Throw your boundaries in. So he's learned from childhood experiences, which were bad, granted. His lack of empathy, nonsense, and understanding exacerbated by and rooted in your ASD. No. I learn, I change, again, another one of those autistic traits is, we don't like change. Of course we do when it's for the better. And rooted in your ASD, what have I got in my ASD that is my stumbling block, which I am suffering because of. I can't go to parties. I don't care. You know, I can't do quite a lot of things. I don't care about the things I can't do. I'm not interested. You know, I'm not, oh, you should have kids. I don't want them. I'm all right, thanks. You know, I'm not bothered that I don't follow the biological imperative. I'm not bothered that I don't follow the path of life. I'm quite content in the life I've got because I do what I can within my power to bring it all together. So the judge might not realize that some autistic people have the capacity to do that. You know, he was taken to hospital and due to his autism, didn't understand you need to stay. Don't be so stupid. All you've got to do is say to the guy, you've got to stay. You can't go on by yourself. You've got to stay in hospital until we say you can leave. That works. His autism was deemed significant but not severe, and that was part of the reason for his judgment. But, you know, it really does wind me up. It really does wind me up that you've got this professional, this psychiatrist having access to all these records to make a much better judgment. But yet what they didn't do was give the judge the right information to constantly, instead of going, it's deep-rooted in your autism, instead of that, she should be saying your version of autism, your type of autism. Because when you make it specific to the individual, I don't get affected as much. For the layperson watching who doesn't know about autism, who might think we're all a bunch of nonces and murderers, who have learning disabilities, we don't. You take dogs, for example. You can't take a chihuahua. Like if somebody knocks on your neighbor knocks on your door and goes, you couldn't look after me dog for an hour, could you? I've just got to nip out. And you go, yeah, okay. You'd think that dog could be anything from a chihuahua to a St. Bernard. But then they bring a wolf. But even in dogs, they're not just called dog, are they? And then you get a wolf, a chihuahua, a St. Bernard, a bull mastiff, a Dalmatian. You know, you don't, they have names. The different types with the different temperaments, the different personalities, the different levels of intellect, the different age range, the different fur, whatever it might be, there is a name for that. Short-haired collies versus long-haired collies, chihuahuas, shih tzus, all them sorts of things. You know, I've had a bull mastiff. I've got a red fox Labrador downstairs who I'm surprised hasn't come up to hear me because he gets bothered when I'm agitated. Why haven't we got that? You can do it for dogs. Why can't we do it for autism? Why can't we have categories that are actually correct rather than just, you know, barely any support needed, some support needed and severe? Because that's incorrect. Because when we need support, it is severe. Why can't we break it down? Why can't we have a numbered and lettered evaluation where we fit into a certain category predominantly? It doesn't mean we're fully there, but it's sort of a where you can drop a pin in and go, well, this person actually is more prone to this. This person has got learning disabilities. This person has things exacerbated by and rooted in their autism. Due to their autism, they couldn't understand that they needed to stay in hospital. I haven't got a learning disability. I haven't got anything deep rooted in my autism spectrum disorder, which is non-functional for me, which puts me at a negative disadvantage. I don't. I understand if someone says to me, Paul, stay there. I know I have to stay there. So I'm not in the same category as this person with autism. I also wouldn't kill me granddad. I also would never be a nonce. It's disgusting. Can't get stuck on that though. We need it better categorized. And the reason we don't have it better categorized, if I may be so bold, from my opinion is again, it's because people, we live in a world that is not ours. It's not our design. So the people within it come up with their plans. Apparently you have to have a bachelor's or you must have a master's, BA with honours. You have to be educated to make you intelligent, to make you applicable, to make you relevant. But when it, you know, all right, look, brain surgery, I get it. Dentistry, I fully understand. Quantum physics, by all means, you read them books, lad. But this is autism. It is a condition that I have, that I know very well. And you can take the most learned, most letters, postnominals after their name, the most respected, most revered psychologist in autism who does not have autism. They don't know as much as I do about autism because it isn't about traits, ticking boxes, the yes, no's, can you do this, can you not do this, what you're undersensitive and oversensitive for. It's about how you feel, how you're designed internally to how you function, your relevance to your function. That's what autism is. And the reason it's such a problem is because most of that, the large majority of that is where it's in there and it's locked in. There's so much about me you don't know. There is so many things about me I will never, ever share. There are things I won't talk about. And there are areas of my vulnerability I'll never give up. And there'll be areas of my good side or bad side that I'll never give up either. Because I choose what to share with people. And I do that not just here, I do that in life. And I always have done. And I'm good at it now. I've had many years on earth. I've had so many hard times and I've had a few good times. But the bad times heavily outweigh, I can promise you that. But I've had to adapt to overcome every single time. But every time I do it, it knocks a chip off my resilience. But the reason I do it, my formation of how I do this, how I have to quantify it for myself and give myself the right and wrong, the way I design that is something that's difficult to verbalize. I'd find the words in the end, because I always find words, as you know, I never shut up. But psychologists don't know about that. They can't, because if you can't feel it, you don't know what it is. Like when you go to a doctor's or a hospital and you're like, I've got pain in my leg. They don't know what your pain in your leg feels like. So they say on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad is it? 1 being such and such and 10 being you think it's going to fall off. So they try and find a range. They try and get a feel somewhere. We don't have that in autism. So we have people today learning autism at universities with the pens out, smiling, being all happy, fun, shiny and friendly, who do not have autism, trying to learn so they can help autistic people. Great. But they're learning from things and research that isn't full, or it's full of half-truths, or it's deceptive, or it's a way that we use to mask. But it's not the reason we mask, it's just a version of how we mask. So they will come out the other end with their BA with honours, their postdoctorates, and they think they can speak and think for me, but they don't know how I work. Autism is set in the dark ages because of that, and it'll never move forward until someone recognises that and goes, do you know what? I was watching that adult with autism. He hit the nail on the head. Why can't we just put our hands in the air and go, do you know what? Let's get a ton of autistic people in to help along with this. Because then what we'd get is more accurate settings and we would get more accuracy. It wouldn't be correct. We're never going to hit the nail. It's not 1+1. This is getting it closer. At the minute, they are guesstimating, but at least we'd be able to get it to the right ballpark to make treatments better. But it'd also help when it comes to court cases. And you get people like this, they'd say, oh, you're in the 3C category of autism. People could research that and know what 3C means and go, oh, right. And they go, Paul, where are you? And I'll be like, oh, I'm in the 1F category. They'll be like, oh, what's that? And they have a look and go, oh, yeah, you do have them traits, because them traits are accurate for you. But it'd make it more accurate and it'd stop this, oh, you're autism, you're deep-rooted, you're this, that, and the other, you're a nonce, you're a murderer, you've got learning difficulties. Because it's going to do damage to people like me based off the layperson's opinion who don't know nothing about autism. And I could go on about this all day. I'm aware I'm angry. I'm sweating. I'm hot. I'm taking the dog for a walk. I hope you get what I'm saying. And thank you so much for watching. And until next time, keep smiling.